Welcome back to the Sim Geeks Podcast. We are your hosts, William Belk and David Shablock. We are joined today with Mr. Mike Anzalone from IVS, Intelligent Video Solutions. Mike, why don't you run down your background, tell us how you got into simulation, and then give us a brief overview of what IVS is and what you guys have to offer.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, I've been in the simulation market now for about 12 years. I got my start back with a company called SportsTech. And SportsTech was an organization that did a lot of video for sports. And from there, they kind of branched out into simulation, and that's kind of how I got started. Since then, I've been working with literally hundreds of simulation centers across the country to help them design their simulation centers, to help them optimize how they use video as a performance enhancement tool. And so here at IMSH, being the largest, you know, simulation conference in the world, we are here to demonstrate our products and the value that we can add to the simulation market. So Intelligent Video Solutions, we actually got our start in other types of industries, from law enforcement to clinical applications. And it was actually clinical applications where we were able to build out a solution that ultimately led us to simulation. And those clinical applications include things like speech and language, pathology, psychology clinics, behavioral clinics, a lot of autism clinics. We work quite a bit with children's hospitals as well. And then from there, and one of the unique aspects of a clinical application is you need a high degree of security because they're very HIPAA compliant. And then from there, we really just found ourselves in the simulation market where, once again, today it is our largest market.
So, you know, one of the things that we talked about last week when we were kind of getting ready to do this is you wanted to kind of go through the history or the importance, I guess, of video debriefing. So let's start simple. Assuming that people coming in are looking for kind of a solution or they're not quite sure what they need it for, what is video debriefing? What are the AV solution uses in simulation?
Sure. So it's important to think that video is a tool to help with performance improvement and assessment. And so from a debriefing perspective, we see, you know, a lot of different methodologies. But ultimately, when we think about debriefing, we're really thinking about video assist debrief, the ability to capture specific moments during a scenario that can be used to either point out things that students, clinicians did right, more from an appreciative methodology of debriefing, to perhaps things where they could improve. And those scenarios from a debriefing perspective can be from clinical applications, clinical procedures, clinical skills, but ultimately debriefing is about helping individuals recognize their own critical reasoning and their critical judgment as they're performing their job. So a lot of debriefing is also centered in and around communication skills, quite a bit of it actually. And what we're seeing is in those communication skills, a lot of interprofessional types of scenarios where you've got individuals in different disciplines that are coming together that don't normally work together. So they're coming together, maybe it's a code blue, a cardiac arrest, where they have to come together, gel, leadership needs to be established, communication lines need to be established. And that's a large part of the types of simulation scenarios that we see. And video can capture all that. So oftentimes we'll see using video multiple cameras. So you can have a pan tilt zoom camera, for example, that is going to allow the instructor to kind of zoom in to see, are they intubating the patient in the correct manner? Are they doing clinical skills? And also, in addition to that, to have like a fixed view camera. And the fixed view camera, what that's going to do, if you can imagine, as you zoom in, you're narrowing the field of view. And the fixed view camera is going to maintain a view of all the participants in that room. So now you can have a microscopic view as well as a broad overview to see how those participants are coming together, how they're working, how they're moving about in the space that they need to perform their work.
Yeah, I like a PTZ because for me in the nursing sims or the ER sims I've done, it's more of a, I didn't originally have a camera pointed at them and I want to know what the heck they're doing over there. They've conglomerated over there and they're working on something, but I don't know what they're doing. And so you can actually capture that. So that's neat. And I don't see the PTZ in sims for that. So it's important to know that you have those tools and why to use them.
One of the popular use cases for pan, tilt, zoom cameras that we hear often, particularly for like sim techs in a control room, they may not be able to see what a clinician is doing because maybe their back is turned to the window. They just can't see what they're doing. So the pan, tilt, zoom actually gives them another set of eyes so they can see what they're doing and once again, be able to mark those events back to debriefing.
That's important because every time I'm looking through the glass, it's amazing how somebody can use their body to block every single view and the camera can go in there and see it better. So that's nice, having it in the right place.
So one of the things that we're seeing is in IVS, we've recently introduced a portable pan, tilt, zoom cart. And we're finding more and more simulation centers can use this cart much more in a flexible manner. Because if you got cameras that are mounted to the walls or ceiling, it's a fixed type of environment. Well, the Roam mobile cart, which is the name of the product, can be moved around.
Well, the problem though is I've seen other mobile carts and there is, you know, the power cord, it's a trip fall hazard. So whereas it's a good intention, it's sometimes a problem.
I would agree it's not for every situation, but it does offer a great deal of flexibility. And what's unique about the Roam cart is it's also, one, it's wireless. Two, it's got a battery pack. So no, you have an option of it's totally mobile. The battery actually lasts something like 13 hours, and you can swap out batteries just as easily. You know, one really cool application, in addition to like being able to capture in situ types of scenarios, is this notion of a continuum of healthcare. So if you can picture, for example, you're bringing in a patient, you got the first responders bringing a patient into a trauma center. Now there's a handoff, right, in the hallway perhaps. So with the mobile cart, you can capture the handoff, the communication that's being delivered from the first responders to the healthcare team in the trauma center. And as they're bringing the patient or the mannequin into a trauma center, you can wheel the cart down the hallway. So you can capture all the communication that's taking place in real time.
And that's huge because you could have a sim start in the back of a rig. The EMS people say, okay, you load and go, do your sim. They do it. And then you said, walk it in the trauma bay and keep going through the hospital.
Yep. It's pretty cool stuff.
So bringing back the kind of the AV debriefing or AV simulations that, you know, you and I talked about this last week. At what point should we start looking at, hey, this sim center either needs or doesn't need this? Like, when is it when is appropriate? When is it inappropriate? What should our planning be for when it's time to step up and start adding AV into a sim center?
You know, that's a really good question. And I think, you know, when I first got started in the industry, there was always a question in terms of, is this providing value? And I think over the past 10 years, what I've seen now, it's not a nice to have anymore. It's a must have. I think that the value of having video is once again being able to debrief for the purposes of being able to, again, assess performance and how you can improve that performance. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's about, improving how a clinician is able to deliver healthcare safely and with a team of providers. So I think as a sim center starts to get started, it always comes back to, well, what are your desired outcomes? And just as importantly, if you can't measure behavior, you can't really improve behavior. And so the more that you can utilize video as, again, an educational modality to be able to assess performance, the more important it is. And I think that debriefing is just one use case for video. There's several others that our clients are really looking for. And actually, one of the number one use cases for video is live streaming a scenario. Let's say it's a, you know, it could be an anesthesiology type of scenario to a classroom of students. Because there is a lot of research that indicates that just observing what's happening in a scenario, it has just as much educational impact as actually being part of that scenario itself. So we're finding, you know, a lot of our clients come to us and say, I want to be able to stream real time from a simulation lab to a classroom of students. Or perhaps a classroom of students across the country or in a different country so that they can maximize the ability of how they're using video for a much larger audience.
And that's something that I actually love harping on, is that you can have one scenario. I have a group of 12 nurses that go through that. And so, oh, don't talk about this. Don't go to the classroom and talk about it. Oh, no. And then the first four go through, everybody else just sits. And so I talk about, well, let's have three scenarios or four. And so we have that smaller learner group. All the students can watch every one. So then we don't have a small group that's only getting a very small time to do one sim. We actually get the rest of them get that ride along, get that where, okay, they're seeing different presentations. They get their hands-on skills, but then also they get to watch the sim. So they get to see different patient presentations and see how people approach that. Because one thing we were always taught was when you walk in the room, you lose 10 IQ points off the top of your head. And so I always joke about that when you're in the debrief room watching a sim, you've got those extra IQ points. So it's almost like a bad horror movie. It's like, sepsis, he's right behind you. I love that you said that because I'm a huge proponent of that.
Well, you know, another interesting phenomenon, if you will, of capturing video is, and you've probably seen this video where the observers are instructed to watch people toss a ball to one another. And at the same time, they're focused on watching people pass the ball to one another, and a gorilla walks in the background and nobody notices it. And that's kind of the same thing. Like if you're watching a scenario, you may be tuned into, oh, I need to see them perform this particular procedure. I need to see this type of communication take place. And they're so focused on that, they may be missing other aspects of the scenario that have just as much of an impact. So reviewing the video afterwards, all of a sudden now that gorilla comes to the forefront and they can see the entire scenario and again, the interaction between participants.
That's actually something we used to teach when I worked for the ER residency. We always said that, you know, the doc wants to do procedures, but when you're running a code, you are orchestrating, you are there to run the code. And what we would see would be they would get to the time when they had to do the airway. And the minute you touch that laryngoscope, you lost the forest from the trees and you lost a view of all that. So we would always try to teach them. It's almost like a baton handoff. If you are the most experienced person to do that procedure, then you have to hand your running the code off to somebody else because you'll lose it. But we would show that in the video. It was very evident that, well, the minute you touched that laryngoscope, you didn't see anything else that happened with the patient and you lost everything.
Loss of situational awareness.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
You get that hyper focus. You're zoomed in on one thing, and that's that, yeah, that gorilla example. We use that in our orientation programs. We use it when we teach. I don't know how many times I've seen that video over the years. And it's that concept of if I tell you you're going to do something, that's the only thing you're focused on, and you miss the guy that walks right through the middle of this or gets in the way. So Mike, tell me this. If I want to build an AV solution, and it doesn't necessarily need to be IVS or Vault, but just what am I looking for? What is important to, what are the considerations, I guess, is what I'm really asking. What do I need to consider? What am I looking for just to say, look, this is what I need? And if there's individual needs in that, just explain what they are, you know, kind of, hey, here's what you would look for this or look for that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. In large part, it's going to depend on the program itself. So is the program an undergraduate pre-licensure nursing school? Is it a medical school? Is it a simulation center that's, you know, supporting, you know, local hospitals and professional clinicians and things of that sort? But ultimately, it's going to come down to the types of scenarios that you're going to be conducting, which then is going to determine, well, is it a high fidelity simulation? Is it a low fidelity clinical skills type of facility? A lot of that will then help to determine, okay, so we've got maybe four sim labs, they're all high fidelity. We know the types of scenarios that we're going to be running. That's going to help to determine the number and the types of cameras that are going to be required. Again, back to the, you know, a pan, tilt, zoom, typically at like the head wall, maybe one at the foot of the bed, and a fixed view camera for the entire room. The other really important consideration that a lot of people have a tendency to overlook is audio. And so it's really important, particularly if you're looking to observe communication skills. It's almost hearing what's being said is more important than what you're looking at. We spend a lot of time with our clients as we're looking to help them design a center is let's talk about the audio. The audio, there's acoustical considerations. There's the number of participants that could determine the type of microphone that's needed. There's background noise that we need to consider. We typically recommend things like a DSP, a digital signal processor, to help really provide the highest quality audio possible.
I had a sim center. We were cobbling together our system, and audio was very important because everybody likes to conglomerate in a corner. They think, no, he's there, and they can't, and they start whispering, and our audio system had to be good to be able to catch that. But then nobody thought about the fact that we put one right next to the outflow of the air conditioner. So you had that. So we had to learn what a gate was, learn all this stuff. Whereas, you know, because little things like even recording in here, the audio, we have to have the gain set just right so that all you hear is the people talking and not all of the everybody else talking. So that's a really good point.
Right. Yep.
And I'll build onto that too. Our simulation centers, when we built them out, we put out our AV system. We can hear what's going on. We can see what's going on. And the step that we missed was the ability to talk back into the rooms.
Right.
And so yep. Making sure that not only do we have the microphone coming out to the control room, but that there's speakers and two-way communication. So I don't have to walk out of the control room and go yell something in the door and then go back to the control room because we break their attention when we do that. So having that voice of God is very important and making sure the communication goes both ways.
But using the voice of God properly is a whole nother podcast episode that we won't get into today, and I am very passionate about.
And, you know, in addition to the voice of God type of audio, there's yet another communication device, and that is private talkback. And that is being able to communicate via an earbud, for example. And we see that more for like standardized patient types of scenarios where, again, an instructor may be providing that, you know, standardized patient with instruction so that the clinician doesn't hear, oh, this is how you should answer that history question, for example, or now's a really good time to cough or blink your eyes or do something that will kind of help the individual as they're taking a history, for example, to be able to, you know, properly diagnose what's happening with the standardized patient.
Because we prep our standardized patients, and some of them are very, very experienced and know what to do, but some of them that might be newer don't know, and the students don't read the script. And I always say that the students don't read, so they might go way off. So being able to cue them properly the way the instructor did to meet the learning objective.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, kind of back to your original question in terms of the types of things to think about when putting together a simulation facility from an audio visual perspective, there's the video component, there's the audio component, there's an environmental component as well. That the environmental component is the simulation labs in relationship to the control room. Does the control room, and most control rooms that we see have the two-way glass or one-way glass, but not in every situation.
No, some are disconnected completely because it just wasn't going to work out that way. And I've got a lot of sim centers that are that way, where it's disconnected sim centers, or disconnected control room.
That's right. So, in those types of environments, being able to see via a monitor, computer, IVS, we provide it's a web-based application. We often tell our clients, you could be sitting in your office and you could pull up a live scenario and watch it and even communicate to those participants from down the hall or across campus. So, you know, that is a consideration as well. Of course, when we start working with our clients, we think about all of that stuff, but obviously you'll have to weigh it with budget constraints. So really helping clients understand what is the investment that is going to be required in order to support the simulation center, but more importantly, to support what their desired outcomes are. And at the end of the day, that's the most important aspect of all. So it's, again, working with them to determine that. So, you know, our recommendation when we start working with clients is to start thinking about the bigger picture. How many rooms do you want to equip, for example? What kinds of rooms are they? How many simulations are you going to be running, and how many are you going to be recording? Because that really then comes the other aspect of an AV system is, where do you store the video? Do you store it up in the cloud? Do you store it on an on-prem server? How do you access those videos? When are the videos going to be available? Back to your debriefing question, Will, we often find in a debriefing situation, you go from the scenario immediately to debriefing, right? There's like no time. And so to facilitate that process, once you record a video, it should be immediately available. So you don't have to wait for it. You don't have to wait for it to be rendered. You don't have to go find it. It's right there.
Yep.
Well, Mike, you know, we're kind of getting to the end of our time here. Any parting thoughts, anything you want to share with everybody, either about IMSH or about IVS or just video in general?
I guess in conclusion, video is extremely important. It can be used in a number of ways. Oftentimes, we find clients have a set perception of how they could utilize video. I would encourage anybody that's thinking about video is to really think and have conversations with vendors like IVS in terms of really understanding how they can expand the usage of video.
And you really got to look at how you're actually going to use it, what your workflow is, what you're really doing, not aspirations. We can talk about that. We want to plan that in. But really, some people don't do a hard look at really what their workflow looks like, what they're using, and what they're never going to use.
That's right. And lastly, my last comment is really about having the ability, when you're thinking about putting an AV system in, you need to speak to as many different stakeholders within the organization as possible. So yeah, if you isolate your conversations with just like the simulation professionals, you're going to have like one perspective. But you really need to talk to the educators in terms of how they want to utilize video as well. You need to speak with IT people in terms of the technology. How do you support the technology?
And that could be a big problem. I mean, that could either be a big benefit or a big problem, but it's got to be worked through and you can't leave those people out.
Exactly. And also financial stakeholders. Once again, because this is going to be, you know, a fairly sizable investment, how do we get the return on our value for that investment? All of those individuals really need to be brought into the conversation. And folks at Intelligent Video Solutions, we're more than happy to have those conversations with anybody who has interest in learning more about video.
Well, Mike, we really appreciate it. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for taking time out of your week here. I've been by your booth already, so I know you guys are busy and there's a lot of folks over there. But we really appreciate it. This is William Belk and David Schaublock with the Sim Geeks Podcast.
Have a great show, sir.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.